Good morning and welcome. This is Listen Up, Jesus is on the air. I'm Caterina Vitti and thank you so much for listening today. We have a great guest speaker today. His name is Robert and he'll be sharing his conversion story with us, and such an incredible story. I was reading a little bit before, but I just didn't want to give it away. I left myself in suspense. So today is going to be a great show. And if you would like to call in, our call-in number is 631-888-8811. And our text-in number is 516-784-6081. Please feel free to, if you have any questions or comments, to give us a shout-out. We'd love to hear from you. And Barbara and Father Peter will be joining us as well today. They're just running a little late because of the rain. And so the opening song, I really liked the opening song as well. It kind of reminded me of today with the rain and how the Lord just the rain. We see imagery in the Bible a lot of cleansing. The rain can be cleansing, but also very destructive. We see with Noah and the ark, the rain was a destructive force.
Sure.
But with but baptism, and how Jesus was baptized, and how the water was cleansing of our original sin, and how Jesus, when he was baptized, he also, he didn't need to be baptized because he was born without sin. So he wanted us to be without sin and to be cleansed in him and to have the fullness of life with him and all the sacraments, including from up until baptism till communion, confirmation, and all the wonderful sacraments that we have. And I also thought of that song too, because it also mentioned the Blessed Mother and the woman who was crowned with stars, and with the she was standing on the moon when she was clothed with the sun. And I like that imagery of Our Lady of Guadalupe as well, and just the Blessed Mother's role and just helping us bring us closer to her son Jesus, and to closer to the faith. And so they're here. Welcome.
Hey, Barbara.
Hey. So the Blessed Mother just really helps us, and I'm just so looking forward to hearing your story in a little bit. And sure. I just want to tell you, listeners, that God loves you so much, that you are just so beloved by God, that the God of the universe thought of you in all of time and made you right now to be living and breathing, and that you have a special purpose and a place in this life. And we just want you to know that and to just rejoice about that. And to learn more through the show, and how Robert was touched by God, and just know how much you're loved. And again, if you have any questions or anything, our call-in number is 631-888-8811, and the text-in number is 516-784-6081. So, Barbara, what would you like to tell us today?
Let us know if you have a story that you'd like to witness to. We're very excited about hearing everything that's going on out there. And there's so many times when you meet someone and they tell you this story kind of like casually, and you're like, wow, I can't believe it. That's like so exciting. We have to get that on the air. So that's why Robert is with us today. We're very excited about that. He's got great witnessing. And Father Peter is here again. Father Peter.
Good morning, everybody. Everybody's got a story. I have to pick up a little note from someone who was at the healing mass I did last week. They've got something wonderful to tell. I haven't even heard it yet, so I got to get home and hear about that also. So there is a story out there of the Lord's working, so we want to tap into as many of them as we can. And I know today we have Bob, who's enthusiastic for the things of God, and we're going to hear something great from him.
Thank you, Father.
Yes, and Father Peter, again, just for our listeners to know, at the parish of St. Francis of Assisi, there's a healing mass once a month, a generational healing mass, and there's just tremendous blessings from it, and just to be healed from anything in our family tree that could be affecting us today. And for more information, you could just contact the parish office.
So for the date of the next one, yes.
Yes, the next one in July.
And our coffee house, we don't want to forget that. We have a very exciting thing happening.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Do you want me to say something?
Yeah.
So, but Katarina is involved, and anybody who would like to be part of this, the founding and the opening of this summer, we're going to do a lot of kind of groundwork, and we're hoping in the fall to really launch out. But it is a coffee house for young people. And we just are very interested in getting everybody there who would like to kind of just relax, hang out, find out about the Lord. And as Katarina says, find out about how much Jesus does love you, actually.
Right. Yeah, it's a little late notice, but at 3:15 today, the little gang is scheduled to gather at the Cold Spring Harbor Library. They're going to have a little young adult hike. So hopefully the weather will cooperate, and if actually a few young adults will actually show up and do this little journey down through Oyster Bay Woods and so forth, and one of the nice little green belts on Long Island, and celebrate God's goodness and have some camaraderie and friendship too. They won't get to the coffee house, but they'll be enjoying God's the cathedral of God's creation out there.
Yes, I was thinking about the coffee house and the hike today too. When I woke up, I was like, "Oh no, it's raining," but it's clearing up. So I'm excited.
You're going to go?
I'm going to try all to make right, it. We'll see. We'll okay. see. I got to come support, right?
That's and right. That's right. Well, I'm glad you feel yeah. that little I know it's that little be tug. Good. I'm glad you feel that tug on your spirit to go.
Yeah, and I was excited to hear that there's an actual spring of water. And
well, they
I,
call it Cold Spring Harbor. I never thought that you could still identify a spring, but apparently, according to Giovanna, you can. So they'll start there with some maybe a refreshing glass of water from the spring, and they'll be ready for their hike.
That's cool. Thank you, Father. All right. So, Robert, welcome again, and thank you.
Thank you for having me.
And so go ahead. You could sure, start with sure. anything.
I probably should start with a little back history. I want to thank Father Peter. I've learned so much from him in the daily mass and, you know, from going to mass on the weekends as well with my family. And little things that he said, whether it be in the daily mass or his homilies, have been instrumental. And I want to give God all the glory for everything that we do here today. And I know Father Peter has said little things that have been so inspirational to me that I just want to share those as well. God tailor makes his interventions for us. And I absolutely believe that, because before this story came about, I just have to share for a minute that I'm a traveling army contractor. I go around all around the country, sometimes even overseas, Hawaii, Alaska, maybe the Middle East. And I didn't know this was going to happen per se, that, you know, I was going to be able to share this story. I think it was a Belong More Deeply sort of campaign I think the church was going through at the time. And Father Peter approached me in the foyer and said, Bob, would you mind sharing some of your story? I heard you have an interesting story to share. Maybe you'd like to. And I said, sure, anything you want, Father. Right. And went back and forth a little bit, me being on the road, not knowing if it was going to line up, sort of like we did with Barbara in the radio show here. Mm-hmm. And by God's grace, we're all here, so I'm thankful for that. So there I was, you know, going back and forth with my wife, talking to Father about whether or not I could do it or not. And I said, well, Jan, you're going to have to tell him that maybe I can't do it because I think I have to go somewhere else. And she said, okay, I told him. And then that fell through, and I was going to be home. And I said, Jan, well, tell Father Peter I can do it again. And she said, okay. I talked to him. She got back to me, and he said, you're going to do it at the 8, the 10, and the noon Mass. And I said, the Mass? The Holy Mass? She said, yes, Robert. I said, I just imagined I was going to be speaking to someone at the basement or in the parish office about
only
maybe,
3 or 4 at a time.
Three or four at a time. So I give God all the glory for this and the Holy Spirit, because I'm not even a writer, and this just sort of flowed out of me when I began it. My story of rediscovering the faith, I'd say, began about 8 years ago, but about 15 years ago is when the story really begins. I was preparing to get married, and it was a struggle for me. I wasn't ready to assume responsibility, nor did I want to be responsible for a family. And it's probably why I ended up living with my in-laws. I was Catholic in name only. I didn't celebrate the Mass or the sacraments, and was incapable and unwilling to grow up. I was stubborn, prideful, and self-centered. But she was a good girl. So we married by a justice of the peace. And I had a lot of resentment for my circumstances with my living situation, for not being perfect. I didn't want to be living down here in Long Island. I'm from Massachusetts, and I wasn't interested in raising a family here either. A lot of my frustration was directed towards my soon-to-be wife and my in-laws. I really felt like a fish out of water, and, you know, my wife wanted to stay here, save, and build, and I saw the price tag on everything as another reason to leave. I didn't have the faith she did to overcome the financial hurdles that lay ahead. It was too much for me. I wasn't strong enough to believe we can make it. Well, shortly after we were married, that's exactly what I did. I left. I abandoned my wife and children, and I selfishly did all that in the name of my own personal freedom. I was a moral relativist. I believed my own baloney, and I knew best. I twisted and turned the truth in my mind to suit my decisions because it made me feel better about the choices I made. I felt like in those days that my freedom to lead my family as I chose was being treaded upon because I lived with my in-laws, who only wanted to help me, but I couldn't see it and I felt like a prisoner. I was angry because I wasn't able to live the way I wanted my family to live. I had disdain for Long Island, even though I didn't have the means to provide another living situation. But what I really wanted was to do what I wanted to do, without question. Me is what it really was. I was stuck in Guyland, not ready for manhood, marriage, never mind fatherhood. My perception was, this is my life. So I moved back to Massachusetts, took an old job back at a paper mill, and began resenting my wife instantaneously. Immediately, she wanted a divorce, and rightfully, she was well within her right. I was horrendous in my poor attempt to be a husband, and I began sliding further and further down a bottomless pit, to drugs, to divorce, to depression. I rented an apartment that I now call my 80,000 square foot black abyss. It wasn't hell, but you could see it from the front porch. I had it a few years as I ever so slowly began to realize that I totally destroyed and ruined my life and family. I blew it, and I felt like it was hopeless. With that in my heart, I spiraled down to near suicide, and I certainly wasn't free. I was in the dark. This isn't what I wanted, and I would often remember my family I had abandoned and severed myself from, and I was in rough shape to say the least. Then one day, they closed the factory I worked at, so I reached out to a friend I grew up with and told him, I'm starving in the land of plenty up here. I can't make it. I won't be able to pay my kids' child support. He helped me get straight. He helped me get a job. And with gratitude, I began to pray at the end of each day. And ever so slowly, my life started to change. I had hope. My friend described the job he could get me in Iraq as an army contractor, handing out weapons and body armor to soldiers during the surge. Said it could be dangerous, a lot of traveling, flying, and convoying. I'd be gone for at least a year. I figured, why not? Worst case, I don't come back, they'll talk good about me. And I had a purpose. So as I got ready to ship out, tying up loose ends and errands and seeing myself off, parting ways with that black abyss of an apartment, my brother, before I left, gave me some rosary beads. And he said, Rob, take these with you wherever you go. Promise me. And I did. So off I went overseas. It was good work and great money, and I'd figure I'd stay there for at least 5 years. But still, something was missing. I felt alone, unloved, and forgotten in the Iraqi desert of the Middle East. Those years I was divorced, I used to dream at night of, and during the day, of how in the world I could possibly get my wife and family back. I had no answers. It seemed all but impossible. There's no way. Too much has happened. And my friends were sick and tired of hearing about it. I would talk about my ex-wife constantly. They used to laugh at me, saying, come on, man, let it go. Get over it. Shut up, Rob. But I couldn't. I was fractured, to say the least, and the dreams continued. In fact, they increased, and I was tormented emotionally. While in Iraq, praying at night and carrying the rosary beads around, wherever I went, I decided to go to Mass, and the priest was amazing. I thought he was talking to me personally. So I kept going, and I kept dreaming of my wife and kids, and it got so difficult for me. All these thoughts and feelings I had swirling around within me, and my brokenness, I got on my knees and I prayed to God for help, because I didn't know where else to turn to. And I cried out to him, Lord, please help me let go of this woman. If I'm not meant to be with her, then please help me let go of her, because I can't do it. And I attempted to move on. When my work was finished in Iraq, I came home for about 10 days to see my family. I drove up from Virginia, called ahead to coordinate my visit, and something strange happened. Doors began to open for me. I was welcomed to wait for my son in my in-law's house. People were happy to see me. I was invited to stay as a guest on the couch so I could put my son on the bus for his first day of school. As our visit progressed and wound down. I settled in for a night on the couch when something wonderfully amazing happens to me. My wife kissed me. I couldn't believe it. I was in absolute shock. I thought for a moment, is this really happening to me? Am I dreaming again? In that moment, I knew God's mercy and love for me. And I knew that I had received a miracle that day. I knew I was getting a gift from God. And I told my wife I wanted to live a religious life with her. And we began to rebuild. My dad used to say, you know, Rob, it's funny. When you give up on people, that's when they surprise you. Well, God sure surprised me. Since those days, I've come to learn that I'm not special. The truth is, we all are. I rise and fall every day. I'm thankful that God continues to teach me, and he's not done with me yet. The rosary beads I carried back then, now I don't leave home without. My blessed mother, Mary, snuck up on me and brought me back to Jesus through Mary. In looking back, I know God was with me through it all, carrying me, loving me, and forgiving me. And our blessed mother was praying for me. And I realized anything is possible with God. See, I tried for years to rely on myself and my own sheer willpower. I'm a Marine, and when I would fail, I would redouble my efforts and begin again, even harder, as if I hadn't put in any effort or enough effort in the first time to achieve anything. It was only when I was completely exhausted enough to let go of control that God began to steer me home. And through his grace, I got remarried to my wife, this time in the church of St. Francis in Greenlawn. About 8 years ago, after we married in the church, God blessed us with another baby boy, Gabriel. I recatechized myself and received confirmation about 5 years ago from Father Peter on Pentecost. When I need help now because the world can make you weary, I come to the church. I go to the Eucharist and especially confession and reconciliation and surround myself with you, the body of Christ, my family. And our family center is the Holy Trinity, and I want you to know that I'm praying for you, so please pray for me. God bless.
So, Rob, tell us some of the backstory here.
Sure.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. Let's hear a few more little details, little precious details.
Like, for example, what was going on with your in-laws and your wife that led to that glorious moment of that return?
Well, I think in hindsight, you know, my father-in-law has shared with me that, you know, he thought it was great that I was mailing things home, you know, for my son from Iraq. You know, they had pugs and pogs because they don't use change over there. You know, it's just inconvenient. It's too heavy, you know, to be exchanging money and coins over in the war zone. So they have a sort of pog system where it's just a disc of paper, really, and has a denomination on it. I'd mail those home and different things I think, you know, a young boy might be interested in, and I'd sit down and read stories and put them on a DVD and mail those home, and he thought that was stand-up, so he was very welcoming. He was very instrumental as well in bringing me home because, you know, when I came for a visit, he'd say, oh, this is a friend of the family, and, you know, little things like that, you know, may go unnoticed normally, but it was very special to me, and I felt like, you know, he was definitely an anchor that helped replant the seed so my family could come back, or I could come back to the fold of my family, you know.
What was going on with your wife? Was she receiving a lot of supernatural graces, huh, during that?
Absolutely. She began to pray the rosary herself and was working with other parishioners from St. Francis and rediscovering the glories of the rosary and all the grace that's encompassed in that. So it was actually very interesting how it all sort of segued together, you know, in the mystery of things. I really thought it was profound how that happened because she was on her own journey as well as I was. So she was actually, I think, praying with some friends. I hope I can mention their name, the Labassos.
Right.
And I think the world of them. I call a lot of the daily communicants of Mass. I call them the God Squad because I just think they're, you know, I think a lot of us are still here from, you know, some of our grandparents and loved ones' prayers that were so faithful.
Absolutely.
But yeah, Father Peter, definitely amazing. I mean, you know, can't say enough. I was hoping I was going to go on the pilgrimage with you to Fatima.
Oh, that would have been great. Can't do it, though.
Huh? I am going, so I'll be able to be sort of...
Oh, you are going.
Give you a little insight into it if you need any questions answered. I'm going in August with my son.
Oh, okay.
So, but yeah, I guess he has schooling and testing
right,
from
that's
October.
That's right. So you got to go with him. Oh, that's going to be an awesome trip.
Yeah.
It's going to be an awesome trip. Tell me all about it when you get home.
Absolutely.
I've never been to Fatima myself. It's going to be exciting for me, too.
I can't wait.
We'll tell everybody about that.
Well, yeah. we do have a parish-oriented trip at the end of October, October 25th, going, and it's through 206 Tours. That we already have probably 17 or 18 people that are pretty probably going to be on board. So it's going to be an awesome trip. It's not only Fatima itself, but there's a Eucharistic miracle in Portugal there that we're going to stop by to see. Then some of the special things in Spain as we take our bus trip across to Avila, the hometown of St. Teresa, some of the special Burgos and Salamanca. Those are beautiful places, the birthplace of St. Ignatius. Then over the beautiful Pyrenees Mountains into Lourdes, and that's, of course, the hype. And I've been telling everybody, don't miss on taking the bath. Okay, some people skip the bath. You can't do it. You get to Lourdes, and it's easy, and it's over with before you know it, but it's really the high point of the whole thing. So so think about it if you can. If the Lord's putting it on your heart, you feel you're being called this year, the Lord will take care of the details. Okay, even the finances, the Lord will figure out that one too. So thanks for a chance to say something. But it's great to have Rob here. Rob comes in and out, you know, so often. I thought he worked for the CIA, you know, or that he was a Navy SEAL or something like that. Disappearing to go to these weird places, but we're glad to have him when we see him, because we know he's part of the Lord's team, and he's still a Marine in the Lord's service, right? So
absolutely,
that's important.
Well, I know my husband David, Deacon Dave, always would tell me, "Oh my God, you got to meet this guy Rob. You're not going to believe this story. You got to meet him."
He was amazing as well. I definitely want to give Dave a lot of credit, and along with Father Peter and everybody that, you know, I see as, you know, God putting in my path, and, you know, he definitely helped that come to fruition as far as being confirmed. I used to meet with him, we'd talk, and, you know, it was great. We'd come to witness on occasion in the parish office. Maybe that's where I got the idea that I'd just be talking to the parish off father. I used to go to Deacon Dave. We talked to people that were thinking about getting baptized.
That's right. Beautiful. Now, Deacon David, and of course, I instructed Deacon Dave. Deacon Dave started out as a member of another Christian denomination, and I brought him into the church. But of course, he had to make up a little bit more even after he was on his way to the diaconate, because a lot of our so-called instruction sessions ended up with Dave. Dave, I need help with this. I need help with that. We got the youth group going. Can you set this up? And poor Dave wasn't getting all the instruction. He was getting practically broken into the work of it. So I guess the Lord worked it in his own way, you know, to make it all happen at that time. So these are good memories all around.
And
they really are.
Being a good Catholic, you know, I was like astounded every time Dave came home. I would say to him, "So what did you learn? What happened?" He'd say, "Well," because, you know, Dave was very easy peasy kind of person. He's like, "Well, yeah, you know, we had Father Peter was having a dance with the youth group, and we had to kind of get some more
pizza.
There were a few kids we had to drive home, and so what? Did you have a lesson? Did you have an actual lesson?"
Yeah, 10 minutes.
we're gonna catch up. We're gonna catch up. It's like, oh my God, please.
Yeah. But Dave made it, and it was. Then, of course, the Lord laid it on his heart about becoming a deacon, and of course, then the coffee house is going to be named in his memory. So that's because mm-hmm. actually, Dave and his last gainful employment was the coffee house, the Starfish Coffee House in Amityville, which will always be a treasure in our memories. So let this little place be a memory of Deacon Dave also.
And it reminds me of this radio station because, as Rob knows and Katarina, it's all about the starfish story, which is just so I don't know. It's so touching. It's just like that one person, you know. The lady was throwing the starfish back in the water, and someone said, well, this is ridiculous. This is a futile attempt to save all these starfish. And she said, well, it mattered to the one I just threw back. And, you know, I think that's kind of what we're about.
That's right.
Like, let us know you're a starfish out there and that we threw you back and that yes. you're, you know, right?
Yeah, no, that's great imagery. Even if it's just one person, we don't know who we're touching or who listens. Trevor was even telling me before that some listeners that he knows have been listening as well. So it's just, you don't know who you're touching. You really don't. So it's just... it's just such a blessing, and if you feel inspired again to say anything or come on the show, we'd love to have you. And I was just thinking before about the military and just you know, that it's so important to keep our army men and women in prayer, and you know, your story was just so inspirational for me, and what you said about Deacon Dave too, that's just so funny how, you know, lessons in life are just kind of taught not how we want them to be.
Right.
In a very loving and fun kind of way.
But can I ask Rob a few
yeah,
more questions?
Sure.
So Rob, were you a Marine before all this happened? I lost.
Yes.
You were.
Long before any of this happened.
Before you met Janet?
Oh yeah, right out of high school I went into the Marines.
Oh, okay. So
I didn't know much, but I knew I needed, you know, some firm correction, let's call it. I mean, I just needed structure. I knew that, so I knew I was going to get that in that outfit. So that's why I gravitated. And then, you know, not for nothing, I felt like a bit lost in things, because I remember my peers were all choosing colleges and place to run off to, and I said, oh, you know, I didn't realize I needed a plan. I didn't have a plan. I need a plan. So I ended up joining the Marines.
And how long did you stay in the Marines?
I did 4 years.
4 years, yeah.
In the infantry, and then I got out, and it was a remarkable experience. I got to actually see the world, you know, as advertised, sort of. So
really?
I got to go to Europe and do a Mediterranean float, and, you know, and I went out to the west coast of the United States. But the Med was wonderful. I still want to go back to Italy, and I saw all the major cities. I went to Greece, Israel, yeah. Turkey.
Sure.
So it was very enjoyable.
And you actually get to see it.
Yeah, I did. It was really, by God's grace, I give him all the glory. It was mm-hmm. peacetime. You know, I didn't have to do anything that these young men and women have to do now. And, right. you know, that's a cross to bear. And I try to think of them always. And I thank God for having spared me that burden, because that's a tough one for a young person to deal with.
So, you know, I love to talk to military people because I teach a lot about spiritual warfare.
Sure.
And especially as it's demonstrated in the scriptures. And I like to draw, you know, analogies.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, sometimes we call people who are really very, you know, schooled in spiritual warfare. We actually call them generals, right? The generals of spiritual warfare. And, you know, those people have mentored us in many ways. But can you tell us things that might be analogous with the spiritual warfare that the Lord calls us to, that you might have learned as a Marine, you know?
St. Paul says, I fought the good fight. At the end, that you know, that the Christian journey is not without warfare, that we're fighting not only against human powers but against principalities and powers in high places. So it's so, you know, anything you could share that you learned
yeah.
about the spiritual life, you know, coming out of the Marines is, like, for example, I mean, Saint Ignatius, who founded the Jesuits. You know, some of their early structure really is based on his military experience.
Right.
He had his conversion when he was wounded in a battle, and he had to have a long convalescence. And it was that time that, you know, he wanted you know, the current novels of the day, the current romance. Though they didn't have any for him, the poor nuns did. All they had was spiritual reading. So he got into it. The Lord touched him somehow through the lives of the saints and so forth. But he never forgot his military background. And of course the Jesuits are called the Company of Jesus, in other words,
right.
the military group of Jesus, you know. So maybe you have a thought.
And also we have that great Ephesians 6 where Paul tells us to put on the armor.
Sure.
Right? The breastplate, right. The sword, the helmet. But something jumped out at me when you were speaking about, you said that you had kind of like a feeling, an experience of doubling up. You learned it there.
The military way, I think, is a wonderful approach in its infancy stage, and I think I needed a plan. I needed structure. For instance, when I first began reading the Gospels, it was probably a military issue I got from the chaplain. I was bothering the chaplain all the time. I really was. I was learning all the time, I didn't know, because unfortunately I didn't have the foundation of the faith down as a young man or a young boy even. So I was learning later on in life, and I was learning about the saints, I was learning about the Gospel, and I would bother him about everything. I mean, he got so sick and tired of me bothering him on the ship one time. I said to him, "Father, is it okay to get a tattoo? I don't think that, isn't that desecration of the body?" And I was very regimented. And he said, "Well, you take aspirin, don't you?" he was a very good
if you want to have one,
pastor.
Yeah.
He was very good. He bore me with a lot of patience, so I'm thankful for that. And I remember I used to run around on top of the ship wearing a T-shirt that says "No guts, no glory." So I love the faith and all the genius of Catholicism. Really drawn to that. But in its infancy, you know, without having a spiritual guide from that moment to my downfalls and rising again from the ashes, I think what was most needed was, you know, a spiritual guide, you know, the priesthood. Because I can remember just being in Iraq thinking, you know, before all this happened, that I wasn't worthy of God's grace and love. And that's really the underlying theme of that whole reconversion story, is that I never thought in my brokenness that I was worthy of being loved. I just didn't think I was. And I think, you know, I don't think that's unique me at all. I think that's very commonplace for a lot of people. But I remember reading in that Gospel from that moment when I was a young man to being in the Iraqi desert, still being wrapped around that immature notion. And I remember thinking, I remember talking to a guy one day. I think we were just, because the bathroom's, you know, probably a quarter mile away or sometimes where you got to use running water. And we were talking about the Gospel a little bit, and I said, "Well, there's only 144,000 names in the Book of Life." And he said, "Yes, but there's also the many, it refers to all the other people, but it subtly does it, because God doesn't hammer things. He's patient with us." So I can't remember what it says exactly, Father, but
the text of Revelation, 144,000 sealed, but there are other visions that's symbolic of the tribes of Israel, you know, multiplied. In other words, the 12 tribes multiplied by.
But then
by
the multitude, 12. Right?
Then beyond that, he also saw the multitude that no person could ever count.
Right, and that's what I had sort of glossed over and didn't even know. I just focused on 144,000. And that was.
He wants to be one of those guys.
I'm part of the multitude. Well,
the Marines are the first crew in. So that's so you were in that group. There's another great guy though that we got to just, I think, tip our hat to a little bit. And something's coming up over at Catarina's Parish about Dr. Chufo. And maybe just very, because you know this radio got its start really through Dr. Chufo and Dr. Palmer. So please briefly, I guess, catch us up. What's happening over there?
You mean with the parish in general?
Yeah, they're dedicating something.
No, they're going to have a dedication for him on Sunday, I believe.
Oh, yes. There's going to be
On
the 1st of July, yes, in the basement of the Siena Center. So the Siena Center is an extension of the church. There's the, I guess you could call it the cathedral or the old church, and then they made a new part to accommodate all the parishioners. So masses are held in the church and also in the Siena Center. And in the basement, they constructed a family room. It's called a Holy Family Room, and which was meant to be a cozy place to pray and to celebrate Mass. And there's carpet, and Miss Chufo, Dr. Chufo's wife, graciously donated in Dr. Chufo's honor, beautiful stained glass windows, and there's going to be a mass and a dedication ceremony.
Is it a chapel or a prayer room? I mean, do you sit on a kneeler, or can you sit on the floor, or what do you have?
Yeah, so it's like I would say it's kind of like a chapel. It's like this like a rectangular room. There's chairs all along the sides. And the altar is like in the middle.
Hmm.
And then you could kneel there's no kneelers yet, but you can kneel on the carpet. It's like soft kind of. Oh. So it's hard to, I guess it's like a multi-purpose kind of room. You could take the chairs out and maybe just kind of sit on the floor and have little discussions kind of thing. So it's kind of like a church, but a little bit more, I guess.
A gathering place.
Yeah. A gathering kind of place. Yeah, yeah, it could serve those two purposes. Yeah,
that's great. That's great. So you could have a youth group in there or an older group, and they could
be on the floor or private. On the chair. Right. Mm-hmm. You could close the doors.
By themselves. Mm-hmm. And it'll be dedicated in memory of Dr. Tony Chufo then.
Yes. Yeah. And I just wanted to say, I was telling Rob before too, and Mr. Chufo definitely touched many people. I believe in his life. Just he was a very loving man and just showed just genuine care for people, you know, who'd say, I love you.
I never got the whole story of Dr. Chufo, but he did grab hold of me because he was involved. He had his finger in a lot of bowls of soup, you know.
Yeah, and like very involved.
He was helping with Fino Giordano with the Batania group, and he had a couple of other little things going. But he grabbed the hold of my arm at one time. He said, you know, Father, you know, you may think of me as like a pious Jesus kind of person, but there was a time I wasn't so close to Jesus, he said. He says, in fact, he said, you know, for about 10 years I carried a pistol with me to work, because he explained all of that. There was difficulties with the union, and he was threatened by certain shady characters that, you know, he might find himself dead someplace if he didn't cooperate with them. So there was quite a story of Tony Chufo, but you know, in midlife he really came to the Lord in a new way. He was running a business, a provisions business in Queens, and there was difficulties there. I don't know detail at all, nor is it important now, but he said, you know, finally I was able to put that gun away.
Wow. Well, we're back to spiritual warfare now.
Yeah, we're to spiritual warfare.
That's real spiritual warfare. I just wanted to underscore some things that Rob was saying, that, you know, the battleground is really in our mind, right, Rob? That's really it. That's
definitely
where the battleground.
Definitely one of the fronts, you know. But as far as weapons go, I think Father Peter's totally right. Like Padre Pio said, bring me my weapon. I don't leave home without a set of rosary.
The rosary, right.
The rosary.
And we're so blessed to have that. It's amazing when you think about that. We have the rosary as our weapon, and of course the word of God, which is the sword of truth, and Paul talks about that all the time. But I also wanted to say something that kind of to highlight what Rob was saying about people have, it's amazing, have such a lack of understanding the Lord's love for them. And in the hundreds and hundreds of people I've counseled, I could say every one of us has to struggle to really get that, you know. And sometimes we totally understand God's generic love of the world, but to know his personal love for us, you know, what he delights in about us, what are the things about our personality that he particularly loves, you know, how he kind of gets his own personality in there. You know, the Lord has a personality. I mean, the characteristics of God are mentioned in all the names of God. In fact, around our whole dining room table, we have actually, it's quite interesting, embossed the names of Jesus in Scripture. And all those names give us another clue to his personality. So his personality reacting with our personality produces a very personal relationship. And I think that once you get that sense that this is a personal God who loves us, you know, and he loves the things about us that maybe the person next to us doesn't have, and he loves something about them that we don't have. I think that's the that's like the kiss that Rob got on the couch. That's the shifting
absolutely moment,
right?
It was absolutely a shifting moment for me, and that's immediately was washed over me that I knew that God loved me. and I knew his mercy, and I just wasn't familiar with that. I mean, I love the regimentation. I love the structure. It was great, clean living in the military for me. It was a wonderful experience. I'm not knocking that. But my personal experience was that they didn't teach me to surrender spiritually. So I did everything in the physical. And I thought when I failed, like I said, that I wasn't trying hard enough. So I would get back up. And it wasn't until I was completely exhausted to where, you know, I really feel like the Lord stormed the hill of my heart. And that's how everything came about.
Wow, he stormed the hill in your heart.
Yeah, you go.
I love it. Yes. I love that. That's oh, Lord, storm the hills in our heart. Come and storm those hills.
There's a lot of nice tie-ins, and I just have been reading this book. We were privileged in recent times to have Neil Lozano and the Deliverance Group, the Catholic Deliverance Group from Philadelphia, instruct some of our own people here in the diocese. Father Charles Mangano and Father Tony Stanganelli are involved in Catholic Deliverance Ministry according to the guidelines of Neil Lozano. But he's bringing together the Father's personal love. This is Abba's, Abba's heart. It's about the love of the Father and, you know, finding our way back to the Father's delight. It's an extended meditation about spiritual warfare in light of the prodigal son. Okay, in light of the image of the prodigal son, and I just would recommend this book because it brings together a lot of the different themes that we've been talking about today of spiritual warfare and and knowing the Father's personal and intimate love.
And can I just say that is my most favorite scripture to teach on, because the thing I love about it is that the Father saw the son when he was still far away, and really what that tells us is that the Father was looking for the son. You know, he didn't just happen to catch him out of the corner of his eye. He says he was up on the roof, right?
He saw him at a distance.
At a distance. Yeah. And I love that he was up there looking, you know, seeking him, and he hadn't just folded his arms and said, okay, well, that's his life. He's decided to do that. And, you know, you hear a lot about tough love these days, especially in the field of psychology. And, you know, if you're practicing tough love, you really need to know who you're practicing it on. It can be very, it can sometimes not be the right choice. And by that I mean that God enables us also, I'll probably get in a lot of trouble for saying this, but the Lord sometimes, many times, enables us. And there's times for hand-holding, and there's times for tough love. And we can never say things are black and white in psychology, and sometimes that's a dangerous thing when we hear these different buzzwords and we learn a little bit about something. We forget that the human being is so complex and so complicated. But the Father certainly wasn't practicing tough love that day.
No, not.
He jumped welcomed. Right off that roof, right?
That's right. That's right, and we don't know the story continues. We don't know what happened between the prodigal son and the elder brother. You know, Jesus leaves that hanging. That's still a drama to be told. We'll have to get to heaven to find out if those two ever reconciled, you know, because that brother wasn't going into that party. You know, the father is, we see the father, you know, the story ends with the father's wonderful words, you know, yeah, but he was dead and is now alive. You know, he was lost and now is found. And the parable ends there. So we do hope the brother came in, but we don't know for sure. So it's the mystery of you know, human decisions and so forth, that we have to trust God for good results.
But when he ran down that road too, I find that so exciting, because, you know, the kid was saying, oh yeah, just let me, you know, be a servant in your house. And that was classic moment for a parent to say, oh, now I told you this would happen, you see what you've done, you're a disgrace. And go through all that and then say, okay, you know, come in the house, but I'm not happy with you. But instead he said, no, don't talk. We're celebrating.
Right. Restored his dignity.
We're celebrating.
Put a robe on him. Put a ring on
which
him.
Which is kind of what happened to
slaughtered
you.
Slaughtered the fattened calf.
Right? Isn't that kind of what happened?
Metaphorically, I
to
think
you?
So, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I was. I just knew as things were happening and progressing that, and that was a grace as well. I knew to get out of the way because things were, I don't pretend to know the mystery of the Lord, you know, but I knew he was at work, so I just was just going with it, you know. So.
And was there any time, Rob, when anyone sat you down and said, we want to talk about everything you did wrong?
No, No, not at all. I mean, well, me and my wife had that discussion.
Well, of course.
We did.
Of
we
course
did have
you
that
would.
Discussion.
But as far as the extended family?
No, I made it a point, though, that to apologize to everyone personally for my shortcomings because I wanted to take ownership of what I had done and what I had failed to do. You know?
Amazing.
So I can't be thankful enough for the Mass and the priesthood and the genius of Catholic faith. And, you know, when you're talking about the prodigal son, you brought me right back to that wonderful book that Scott Hahn wrote entirely on that parable.
That's right. That's right. That's
and
right.
It, and he breaks it down. I mean, I'm a simple man. I'm not a learned man like Father Peter. I mean, that's how I need it, you know. breaks it down so I can understand it. And that was a wonderful book.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
I was also reminded of the story when Jesus says in Matthew, it's about the sheep and
of 90, he leaves the 99.
Yeah,
and goes
if a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, mm-hmm. does he not leave the 99, right. the hills, and go in search of the one that went astray? So I thought of that as the Lord reaching out to you and bringing you home, even though,
sure.
you know. So it's that you're special, that he went out just for the one. Because if you think about it, that's pretty crazy, because you have 99. Why are you going to go after one?
Yeah,
you know,
right,
just
that's right, that's right.
But he did. So I think that highlights how special we are as well, that he would.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like you can't believe it, but it's what God is telling us. So it's
good. And also it seems to me that people who, like Rob, who have a lot of stuff going on like that are kind of like being attacked ahead of time, because you have a mantle on you,
mm-hmm.
and an anointing on you for the Lord. You know, he's going to use you, and he is using you all the time, but that he has a special call on your life. And so I really believe that people like that, kids like that, are most vulnerable to attack.
Sure.
Mm.
Before it's realized, you know,
yeah.
before their destiny is realized.
I didn't think of it like that.
Yeah, the world's a very distracting place, you know. I sometimes compare myself to a dog chasing cars. You mean, you got all these cell phones, everybody's on the internet,
mm-hmm.
you know, with all the bells and whistles of the world, you know.
That's right.
I remember being in confession, sharing that with a priest shortly after I come back. I said, Father, I'm distracted. I felt so focused on just the glory of God and salvation when I was in the desert.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, of course, there's no distractions.
Right.
You know, it's life
right.
or death. You're
that's
in a
right.
war zone. It's very simple. You know, people don't think of war zones like that, mm-hmm. but that was my experience.
Down to the basics, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
I know, I was telling Father Peter that, and it's a good FYI for everyone to know, just kind of segueing off what Rob's saying, that in my practice last week, I came upon the knowledge that every psych ward on Long Island, every bed is filled. And people that are, there are young kids waiting in ERs, actually, to be admitted. And they're all young people from 15 to 28 in these psych wards. And what really is occurring to us as clinicians is that we are being parented, our children are being parented by social media, and
right.
yeah, that's and by the peer group, and parents are losing any kind of leverage, and really, you know, 24/7, we've never had that kind of stress. You know, this is a stress that my generation certainly didn't have. If I was bullied at school, I could come home and be safe there. But I didn't have to look at 27 pictures popping up every 3 minutes about other kids who had, everything was going great and it's good,
right,
and
sure.
the saying this and saying that. So these kids never escape, you know, the stress, what Rob's talking about, the stress and the bells and the whistles of life. It's the stress that they have is outrageous.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I just wanted to mention that because I think we have to really, you know, up the ante here.
Because your mind is always working, you know, you have the electronics, and technology is good, but we also need to turn it off and go outside and just kind of quiet our minds and Yeah.
And demythologize it, you know, demythologize it and know that what you're seeing is not real. It's an illusion. You know, what these kids are seeing on Facebook that looks so amazing and wonderful and they're left out of it.
That's right.
It's really so much illusion. And I spend a lot of time, I have quite a few kids in their 20s in my practice, and I definitely spend a lot of time demythologizing for them what's reality out there and what really isn't.
Right. Well, I think you got to build up your home church, you know. Your house has to be founded on the rock, you know. It has
exactly.
to be founded on Christ. You know, you have to pray together. Family prays together, stays together. It's, you know, old theme from the church that I think is worthy of being dusted off.
That's absolutely the truth. Absolutely, we have to really.
And it can start
back.
As simple as something like, okay, no electronics at the dinner table, and just gathering for dinner and giving thanks before you eat. Something simple like that.
That's right. Check those things. They used to have to check your gun at the door, right?
But so many young people don't go to church. So many parents don't bring them to church, and especially if they go to private or Catholic schools. Parents kind of think, well, they're getting their religion there and they don't really need to go to Mass. And you know what? We've got to start giving our kids something bigger than their problems, and that's God.
There you go.
Yeah, God's love, you know, and have that fulfillment inside of you.
Father Pete, do you want to say anything in the ending here?
Well, I just want to say that, you know, that don't forget our good friend Pope Francis is talking about the mercy of God continually, you know, so there's always a second and a third and a fourth chance. You know, it may seem like God's bending over backwards, but in a way, he has to because of our frailty and our weakness. But then, on the other hand, the Lord challenges us to grow. Okay, he can do that also. And just to say about the Abba's heart, I mean, the whole idea of Neil Ozana was spiritual warfare in the right sense. But on the other hand, he brings us back to a meditation on the love of God, because that's what will sustain us, you know, through our spiritual journey, experiencing really and feeling the love of God, you know, personally for us.
Amen. And you'll never go thirsty with God's love. And we just want to say, you know, thank you again for listening, and keep listening to the show to be fed, and Living Waters as well, Catholic Counseling Center, and just thank you so much again, Rob, for coming.
Oh, absolutely, Rob. Thank you,
Father. I appreciate everything you've done for me.
And God bless you.
And Deacon Dave as well.
Thank you.
and especially you, Barbara, and thanks for having me here, Catalina.
Ave Maria.
In the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.